When you see attack or you hear attack, you don't think elderly person is getting attacked. You think like, yeah, oh, these guys are like someone's getting jumped, right? Like, yep, something like that. But this was so outrageous. That's why it got coverage. I'm sure there's like 30, 40 year olds that are also getting the same things happen to them, but there's no coverage just because there's, because it's not as appalling, right?
Oh yeah, correct.
That's what it is.
And obviously sometimes news media tend to click on stuff that has more appalling in a sense for more attention, for clickbaits, to be honest. And it's kind of sad to see that, to be honest with you. So,
hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts. And we're always with me, Robert Din.
How's it going, everyone? How's it going? Just us today, just the boys.
Just the boys. There we go. Today's episode, we're going to discuss something going on in our own community. I'm sure some of you may or may not heard some of the crazy stuff, you know, some hate crimes again towards Asians. But for those who haven't, we're going to discuss a little bit more in detail. I don't personally myself, I don't think it's getting covered enough, but, you know, we just want to bring that awareness out there. But Robert, what are your thoughts right now? Let's give us your true heart-to-heart opinion
first,
of what's going on.
First off, before we do everything.
Oh, before we get, we okay, drinking? That's true. That is true. Before we start talking about that, I can't forget about this.
I have this little tiny bottle of mom champagne.
Champagne. Wine,
that I'm drinking. This was given to me by my company for like New Year's, and I just opened up a big
that's
bottle
nice.
Instead. So this is today's, I'm just going to open this one up.
You know what my company gave me for New Year's?
What? Wow. So my company gave us this bottle as like a New Year's, when we did a New Year's celebration. And then I think the company gave us a jacket. And then
they mailed this to you in a box?
Mm-hmm, and the department gave us a jacket. So like we got to choose. We had two jackets this year from stuff.
I'm working for the wrong company.
Yeah.
You know?
Gotta come into tech.
Right. I am drinking a different herbal tea. I'm actually hanging out with my parents' folks this weekend. So all tea all weekend.
No Kahlua.
No Kahlua, no coffee, you know, tea all weekend, you know.
Yeah, so getting into it, like usually I'm not like I don't see the news, I don't watch the news, and like a lot of the news that happens, I don't see. It doesn't get on my radar, right? But this definitely
how'd you hear about it then, if you don't watch the news? Just wondering.
Usually it's not like I don't watch the news, but I have like Google News on my phone, right? So every day.
So you get the little alerts, right?
Every day I scroll through like the today stuff. And most of the time it's finance stuff, right? Like it's, this company's doing this, this company did that. But then this came up in that part of the algorithm and it was about this 91-year-old man who was a 91-year-old Asian man who on video was randomly pushed down to the ground like by this.
He was correct. He was collecting recycled stuff, wasn't he? Or something like that? I forget what he was doing.
I'm not sure. It was on the side of the road, and he just got shoved super hard. Like, maybe I have it here.
Yeah.
You have the video?
I have the article of it. I think he passed away, didn't he?
No, that was an 84-year-old guy.
Oh, that's an 84-year-old guy. That's right.
Yeah, so this was a 91-year-old guy. He was in the middle of the road, and this black guy just comes up and shoves him super hard to the ground and then runs away. And, like, there was no, like, it just seemed such a random attack on an old man. Like, who's going and, like, attacking senior citizens? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
That's for sure. Like, and it makes no sense to pick on, you know what I mean? Like, it's just to pick on someone that, you know, like that kind of caliber, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And it was just so weird. And then the other one that happened, the 84-year-old man who was, I think he was the one that was doing his recycling or he was.
Yeah, correct. He was beat up. He was beat up and robbed for his recycling thing.
He was just walking in his neighborhood, I think.
Yeah.
And
but this was, I think this was February of last year, right? If I remember correctly.
No, this one, I mean, it was pretty.
We might be talking about two different stories then.
Yeah,
but...
yeah. I sent you the article. I'm showing people right now. Let me pull this down.
Year-old man has died after a horrific but daytime attack.
This guy was just like in the middle of the in his neighborhood. Yeah, I'm gonna turn off the volume.
Oh yeah, this
he's
is
just walking. Yep. The guy comes up, shoves him down. He's an 84-year-old man, and then he runs away. This man actually died after this. Like after watching this, it's horrific. Like I don't ever see any reason to ever go up to an old man who has done nothing to you and just go in and shove him like this. It's
And this is the 91-year-old video, by the way, here. This is a 91-year-old video. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like these just came up on my radar. Like, watch this video. This guy's just walking along and just gets shoved. Like, and these happened all within this week. Like, it's crazy. This makes no sense to me. I don't understand. How can this, why is this happening? And then, as I research more, it's just like you just find more and more cases of this. And I can see, like, I remember last year when coronavirus was starting, my friends were talking about how like Asian Americans were being persecuted or like they were being harassed and stuff.
Yeah.
But
especially after, like, I remember Trump saying China virus. I think that like kind of added more fuel to the fire in a sense too.
I guess so. I just never, I don't know. It didn't like I said, it doesn't hit my radar most of the time, right? None of the new stuff. It's just people have been talking about it. So I didn't really look into it. I didn't really research anything. I just heard stuff was going on. Then this hits my radar. I started looking into it. There's been so many, and especially with like Chinese New Year coming up or like that's happening right now. Like older Asian people come walking around with money and cash in their pockets to give out to people, right? Like to give out leases and stuff. But I don't know. It's hard to watch. It's hard to understand what we should be doing in the situation.
I think part of it is that I don't think there's enough awareness to this kind of news out there. Don't get me wrong. Unless you're in the West Coast, sometimes you don't hear it. It sometimes local stays local, right? Like if I know it happened in New York City a few times. I mean, you have videos actually of a guy just, you know, curse and from I think from the Bronx, just cursing. Hang on, let me find this video. Just cursing at this guy, and it's just so random that. And it's just different type of hate crime that's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And looking into there's this like article or like the New York Police Department put out like an article about crime stats that happen. Show you guys this too. Like it shows year over year the difference between 2019 and 2020 hate crimes that happened. And the eight like if you go down to this hate crime statistics. Asians last year there were 3 attacks, this year 3 attacks, but there's like this footnote that says that there's this other corona like motivation as like the reason for it is a hate crime because of coronavirus, anti-Asian hate crimes because of corona, and there's 24 attacks because of this, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you compare it to like historically what we've seen, it's 8-fold, right? Like it's 9-fold of what the normal, what we normally see, right? Like,
a part of it is I feel like some of the stuff is not getting covered as well, and if it is, it's just sometimes just a little bit just too late in a sense, right? And you're right. I feel like definitely the motivation was definitely being added, and it's, I mean, obviously. I think in general, for a lot of minorities, there's hate crime for different minorities, right? And just in general, in terms of target. I feel like right now, especially with everything that's going on, it's easily to do that and then get and then not get covered because there's so much stuff going on. There's so much
there's so
noise.
Much other stuff that's going on.
Yes. And I feel like that's harder to come about, even though Asian Americans are literally targeted. I mean, listen, I'm glad that there are some coverage. Now, you know, we have a celebrity at least coming out talk about this kind of stuff. I think Olivia Munn came, you know, mentioned something about this as well. But at the same time, though, I don't feel like this is a big. It's not. I don't think it's made a national news yet. That's the thing.
Yeah, and like I think the vice president has come out and talked about it as well. And there was like an executive order that was passed to like stop hate crimes and stuff. But like, I don't really know what that does. Like, I guess it's more awareness, but I'm not sure what the executive order really does to help with this. But yeah, I think, and it's also like it might be that like Asians in general just don't make a big deal out of it as much as we see other minority groups. Whenever stuff is happening, like there's just not enough outcry. Like we just don't talk about it. Like it's a lot of it is just, oh, it happens. We get mad, but we're more passive in the way that we handle it.
Yeah, I also definitely think that it could be also part of a generation thing. I think we could discuss that a little bit later, but. Yeah, with that in mind, though, I mean, with that in mind, I do actually, what's her name made the news about this, though? Hang on, let me pull this out. She literally is, what's her name? She's very famous, actually. Here,
I'll pull this
article. Yeah, hang on, here, this is a video. This is actually, I found out a lot more about it because her Twitter, and it just popped in my feed. And I'm not saying it's not, you know, I mean what I'm saying is not national news. It's like it's not like any very like, it's just not up there in front of your face, which is a lot of things, right? I get it. I mean, at least, you know, I see that the vice president recognized that, but at the end of the day, though, it's just a simple tweet. That's all she did, you know what I mean? Like, in a sense, we Asians tend to be passive with this kind of situation. Because the last thing we want to do is want to promote more. And so we're very passive about it. And so the response to this, I feel like it's, I guess, and it could be generational, but I see the younger generation like kind of like acting more on it, right?
Yeah. And it's mostly the younger people that I know that are like super upset about it. Yep. I remember it's always the younger generations that are more, outspoken on stuff.
Wasn't there like a protest march for that? If I remember correctly, this was in, I think there was a protest that was marching about this sometime early this year, last year, if I remember correctly. I think this was in San Francisco. What was his name?
It's also interesting that a lot of these crimes are happening in like San Francisco and San Jose and LA, where there are large populations of Asian people, right? Like, when it would seem like in those communities you would see more acceptance because they're around so much that you wouldn't expect it. Like, maybe if this was in like Tennessee or something, right? Like,
you think they would adapt to that, right? Yeah, and that's the thing. Like,
you would think that like somewhere that like there's not as many, so that you can blame those guys because it's kind of they're kind of like outsiders. But these are like big portions of the community, right? It's kind of weird.
So yeah, check out the video I just sent you. This was, I think, sometime late September last year. This was because of COVID, and I remember there was a lot of Asian hate crime because of what happened in COVID in San Francisco, and they had a big rally demonstration against the violence against Asian American, and they covered this a little bit. To be honest with you, I think this is the first time I've seen a rally against Asian hate crime in a sense that, at least I guess, that I'm aware of, right? Mm-hmm. But usually, depending on generation, we don't really speak out that often, and I think that's part. It could be part of the reason that we don't hear as much. But now that is, you know, I feel like the younger generation they tend to be more vocal because they're not first generation, they're second generation, you know, in America. So
yeah. And it's like, this isn't like, I don't feel like this is the first time that we had this incidents. It's just the first. Maybe this is like our internet generation where we're seeing more of these things happen. The same way that like the police brutality stuff is happening as well. Like we just see it more than before. It's just, I don't know. I always felt like being an Asian in America, I haven't felt any prejudice against me, right? Like this is something new that I felt specifically. I don't know, when I grew up, I didn't feel this. I just didn't feel there's any tension there. So I don't know.
What do you mean by tension? Like, what do you mean? Like in terms of like
I didn't feel like an outsider. I knew I looked a little different, but I didn't feel like I was an outsider I knew I was an outsider in a white man's world. Right. Like I knew that. But it didn't really click that like, oh, I'm going to be targeted because of anything the way I look like.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying. Like, I get, you know, that's obviously racism against African Americans. There's racism against Muslims. We've seen this all in this country, right? Religion-wise, I guess religion, I guess sexual orientation, right? And I've seen it in person as well. I don't know. Growing up for me, I did feel a little bit whether it was I guess age maturity type of deal or not. It was more of just being an outsider in a sense. And so from my personal takeaway, I definitely felt that as growing up, but also part of it is that because I was raised in a household of being a little less passive about it. So try not to let it get to me and being passive about it at the same time, sometimes it's not a good thing. So I realized when I became more vocal about it and reacting more to it, I felt like that was just slowly disappear because I was showing my emotions, right? I was showing. And so, and once they saw, okay, you know what, it actually bothered me. I feel like people are starting to like realize, you know.
Oh, and so what kind of things are you talking about that you saw?
Oh, I mean, a lot of the fights I got in middle school, man, was because of, just because of name calling, things like that, like, you know, like, and I guess it could be age maturity, right? And so, but a lot of it's just towards our race though.
With your race?
Yeah. I see. And so it wasn't because, you know, I was a smart kid, anything like that. I was just towards the race type of situation, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I never had that. I went to a small private school where it was only 30 kids every year, right? So, like, I never saw...
Middle school too?
Yeah, through elementary, middle school. So, like, I didn't see any of that. Like, it was the same 20-ish people every year. And then
so it was a smaller group though, right?
It was a smaller group. And everyone knew me, so I think maybe that helped. Where like, I wasn't an outsider because they've known me for so long.
That's true.
And then going into middle school, I went to like a huge middle school. I didn't feel like I only felt like an outsider because these guys have been to school together for 2+ years, and I've been there for. I just got there, right? So that was the only outsider.
But that's different though, because that's because you're brand new.
It wasn't a race thing. It wasn't like, oh, this Asian kid is here. We're going to act like differently. Right, like it was more like this. We just don't know this guy. So I don't know.
I mean, a lot of my middle school fight was because of half and stuff like that. And I think I got to a point like I got to fight almost every other week type of deal. And so in middle school, this was seventh, eighth grade. Yeah,
Mike, I didn't even know this about you. You're a fighter.
Yeah, you know. And so but I mean, so I came from a private elementary school, and I didn't see that much of an issue either in elementary school, but also because. You know, you went to the same elementary school, the same class, the same people, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of know you. Then I went to a public middle school. I went to a public elementary school coming to America, and that was a little different because everybody was an immigrant in that classroom because of the ESOL. So it didn't feel like that. But then once we went to a bigger middle school, that's where I saw a lot of that. Hang on, I have some technical difficulty with my lights for some reason.
1 hour later.
All right, so we're back. All right.
All right, and we're back. Yeah, sorry. We had to censor Mike out a little bit. He's getting a little controversial.
Right? I got blacked out, you know? But, I do see it could be as you get to a bigger group of, you know, the different kids and stuff like that, it happens, right? And it also happens to my parents too. I've witnessed that a few times at restaurants, you know, where angry customer, things like that, and just start name calling. That's a little bit different. It's not like a crime in a sense. It's more just, you know, being a little bit racist in a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's just that they know coming to America, you're coming to somebody else's country to, you know, to kind of, you know, they know. I feel like that generation knows that, okay, shit's gonna happen.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to handle it no matter what, right? So the question is, do you swallow it or do you let them walk over in a sense, or do you push back?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could talk about the response a little later generation, but I do feel like, you know, us growing up in America versus them coming to America and then dealing with the real world is two different things.
Yeah, we have like a sense of entitlement being here. Like we're born here, or I was born here.
Yeah.
And like we're American citizens, we feel like we deserve more. It's all we've known, right? Like it's hard to like be like, why are you treating us differently when we're from here?
That's true. I mean, especially people who were born here, they definitely do feel a little bit more of entitlement because you were born here, right? You think you would be equal because you were born here in a sense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's true. But we don't have like a brand for like, oh, this guy's born here. This guy's not.
No, of course not. And so, they can't tell. They can't tell the difference either, right?
Honestly, it shouldn't even be a problem. Like, who cares? Like, honestly, it's not a big deal. Like whoever you are, like you should be treating each other with respect and
I agree.
And and this shouldn't even be an issue.
But at the end of the day though, if you think about it, I think the only thing that can unite us is like maybe alien invading us and then all human race stick together.
Yeah, that's true. Because like even when we had like 9/11, which united a lot of America, there was still a lot of backlash towards like the Muslim community.
Correct. It's like and yeah, I mean, obviously they, you know, whatever happened 9/11, this extremist in a sense, and it's, I do feel like, you know, they did try to kind of protect that a little bit more, but at the same time though, I mean, keep in mind, you know, those temples they got ransacked, right, mm-hmm. and New York City a few times. And you've seen that throughout the United States in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And we talked about how, how the president had like called out, this is like the China virus or like tongue flu or whatever, like whatever we talked about.
And it doesn't help. Just add more fuel to the fire.
It doesn't help, but honestly, like that hate is already there. Like it's not, it's like him saying that isn't like creating that hate. It's already there. It's just extrapolating it more. Like it's just.
Correct. Adding fuel to the fire. Like, exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
So it's hard. Like for me, I'm just. I don't know why that is even there, why that hate is there to begin with.
Well, it could be a lot of misinformation, misconception in a sense, right? Also part of it could be also like how we come into America and we strive in a sense. That could be a sense of jealousy. Listen, not just Asian, I think immigrants in general, they come to America, they appreciate their opportunity more. And so we seize opportunity where there's a lot of folks who've been here for a while, and they may not be as lucky or they may not be as successful as we tend to be. But at the end of the day, that we're coming from a worst case scenario, you know, that they have ever been. So we felt like the opportunities here are there. We just take advantage of it, right? Well, it could be a jealousy thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they say that a lot of Asians taking a lot of the white people's job in a sense. But at the end of the day, though.
It's also Asians aren't really considered minorities. In a lot of cases, like even though we're only like 5% of the population, I think we do so well for ourselves that we aren't considered in any like in any minority category. We're just considered the outside minority that just.
But at the end of the day, we work our way out of that group, though. In a sense, if you think about
it, and that's true. It's just I don't know why like society doesn't put us in the same category, like so if our elderly are being.
Yep.
Like attacked like this, it's not getting covered as much because these guys are just they're doing okay. They don't need the help.
They don't need the help. They don't need the support in a sense.
Yeah, exactly.
You think that's the way it's being portrayed though?
I mean, I think just the fact that it hasn't gotten much attention.
National cover. Yeah.
It's not the reason, but I think a lot of building blocks just add up to. this is why we're not going to cover this, because it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I do. It's because, and it's part of it because also no one, it's, yes, I get COVID's going on, obviously, you know, and part of it is probably, to be honest, is that maybe for them, it doesn't feel like, oh, this is, there's so much other stuff going on that's more important than this. And in a sense, they just try to cover that. But
it's funny, right? Like, because coronavirus started in China, you would assume that this would be a connecting story.
Correct story.
Right? Like, whenever they're talking about coronavirus, there's also these things that come up. This should come up somewhere, right? They're like, oh, well, because of coronavirus, there's also this Asian community that's getting attacked because of the correlation. It should be all part of it. Let's say like there was a I don't know, some virus, something that came from the Black community.
Yep.
And then the Black community started getting discriminated against and started getting more hate than they already are, right? This would be big news. Like, this would be all over the place. And it would be much bigger than it is. But like, I feel like maybe our community isn't as outspoken, and I think that's what it is.
And it's probably true though. Like I said, I mean, obviously you see like Amanda Nguyen, you know, she's like a social entrepreneur type person. You know, she started this company called Rise, you know, and that's, I think that's where her Twitter blew up because of that, right? If you look at the actual link that I just sent you a little back ago on that NBC New York article, she explains, you know, exactly what we're literally talking about. And part of it is, you know, and literally her tweet is what kind of caught my attention. And so I do think that part of it is, yes, we're not outspoken, but also at the same time, I personally feel like because we're not that outspoken, we're passive. And we're not people in a sense that we're not getting the time that we deserve in a sense in the air to get covered, things like that. Like, I feel like that has to, you have to fight for that in a sense, and you have to fight for that voice. And it could be, like I said, a generation thing though.
Yeah. We also have that model minority stigma attached to us too, right?
That's true.
Where like we are the quiet minority that just gets stuff done, just does well for ourselves, and we don't we're not going to be outspoken. And I feel like that's how we're portrayed a lot of the times in media.
It's the image thing. Yeah.
That's our image. And that doesn't help the case. Like, maybe that portrayal is also like affecting how like we see that we should be acting as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously a lot of Asian celebrities are using their power to kind of call this out to us well, right? To make officials be aware about this more, you know? You know, obviously you see different, you know, actresses like Daniel Kim, Daniel Wu, you know, like, and those folks like Dalis try to use their platform to get that awareness out there. It's good. I mean, it's obviously part of it is, I feel like this is just the beginning of getting that awareness out there. But at the same time, though, like, you know, at the same time, I'm not sure this is, at least, you know, this is going to stop those people to keep doing it. But how do you, I guess, you know, help reduce that, right? It's the same thing where other hate crimes going on against different race or even sexual orientation, right? I'm sure you probably see that a lot in SF, especially against sexual orientation, you know?
I think it's different. Like, I think sexual orientation doesn't get as much. I don't know, it's more accepted in San Francisco, so you would see it more in like Florida.
I saw a lot more in Florida as well. I'm definitely 100% sure. I guess obviously this depends on the area, right? So you're right. But it's still like, I don't know, it's very I'm not comparing, you know, apples to apples or oranges, you know, type of deal, but it's a situation that it needs more attention. So.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's a hard situation. Like, I don't even know. I don't know if either of us are smart enough to even know how to fix this, right? Like, it's something that we just need to get out there, make it aware, make everybody aware of it, so that
it's an education thing, also too, part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
part of it is education thing, and having you would think that having a it's common sense, the same exact thing, you know, what's going on with the African Americans, you know, like sometimes having conversations or just having education, having that awareness is, and listen, we're talking about right now, outside situations, violence right now. Imagine kids going through school right now.
I know. Imagine how,
think about it. I'm sure there are fights going on in middle school or elementary school, even high school, about this kind of situation and not talking about it. That's not being covered.
That's true. That's true. We only see this because there's cameras around. There's we see like video coverage, and it's like a super elderly person who like when you see attack or you hear attack, you don't think elderly person is getting attacked. You think oh, these guys are like someone's getting jumped, right? Something like that. But this was so outrageous. That's why it got coverage. I'm sure there's like 30, 40 year olds that are also getting the same things happen to them, but there's no coverage just because it's not as appalling, right?
Oh yeah, correct.
That's what it is.
And obviously sometimes news media tend to click on stuff that has more appalling in a sense for more attention for clickbaits, to be honest. And it's kind of sad to see that, to be honest with you. So
yeah, that's how the news
is. I'm sure that especially kids nowadays going to school, man, let me tell you, thank God of in a sense that they're virtual. A lot of them are virtual right now. But imagine though, like when they, you know, like when they go back to school, right? So, I mean, I know there's some states are back to school in person right now. And I'm sure they're probably picking fights, or at least try to avoid the big fights because of COVID. But, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it happens.
I don't think kids are worried about COVID. I don't think they're like, I'm not going to fight this guy. He might have COVID.
But it's a good time to fake COVID, though.
Oh, man. Yeah. Any kids listening out there, if you're getting bullied, what you do is you start coughing on them.
Yeah. All right? They'll back off.
And they will back off, and you'll be fine.
I'm not sure there's a good advice or bad advice.
I don't know either, but yeah, I guess I don't know.
DYOR. It's I don't know. It's a situation where I feel like it's not gonna stop overnight, obviously. But I do think, you know, having that, I just wish that there should be more national recognition behind this, for sure. Yeah. So that way, you know, if it's happening in America, it's definitely happening in Europe, or it's definitely happening, you know, elsewhere, you know, Australia.
I don't feel like other companies or the other countries have as much focus on race. America, they're very race-centric.
You think so? You think because other countries are much, they've been through so much other shit, like race is the last thing they worry about, in a sense?
I think, I just don't think there's as much focus on it. They're just worried about other stuff. They don't care as much. It might be that it's just in the back of their heads rather than in the front of their, like,
yeah, but I feel like in UK it's a different story. I remember UK having a lot of anti-Asian hate crime going up, you know, during coronavirus time. I noticed that, as you know, I remember seeing an article about this. I mean, I'm not saying it is everywhere. I'm just saying, like, in different countries, I'm sure they've probably gone through a similar situation, you know?
I'm sure it's there. Like, you can find events. But I feel like in America, it just, there was so much more of it.
Of course,
that happened, and I think that it's because of our, like, how race centric we are as a country.
We're definitely a little bit more race centric for sure, because how we focus on that so much, and it's just, I don't know. You would think the United States is more united.
United States, yeah. No, our states are united. Our people are not. That's how.
Everyone, we're not. I guess, you know. The irony behind that, you know, like, it's, I don't know, I can't even find the words to describe it, to be honest with you. So
yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. You're probably right. I've also heard of stuff that's happened internationally.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely less than, You know how,
let me tell
like,
you, my friends from Australia, I even heard the news before I heard the news, okay, about this going on.
Yeah. They heard... I think their news is better than ours, probably. Like, that's what it is.
I feel like they're so bored of it there, they had to cover American news.
No, so like everyone who, like the Australians I know, they love America, right? Like they, so like they're, like everything that's happening in America, they cover it way more.
Yeah,
than their own country stuff. They know what's going on in America way more than what they have. But yeah, so you know, yeah, I was thinking like, you know how like in Asian culture, like, different Asian, races, they don't really like each other as much, right?
That's true.
Do you see like the Chinese getting hate from other Asians in Asia?
Probably 100% sure. I definitely see that but also at the same time though, they realizing also too, like, because, you know, they can start blaming each other in a sense, right? And that's easy to do, but I feel like nowadays, because we're so blended, like, it's you know, there, I'm sure there is some, but I feel like there's more from outside of Asia than just the Asian within Asians. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, you think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just know, but there's a lot of divide between.
I mean, there's a lot of divides already in terms of different wealth gap in Asia within Asians. That's for sure, 100% sure.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and also now that they're adding more to this, where like, oh, okay, cool. You know, because this happened in the northern China, in a sense. Do you think the southern Chinese people blaming on the northern Chinese? Hey,
do you guys have hate inside China too?
Yeah, in a sense. Wow. Like, think about it.
Okay.
So think about it. Like, the northern people feel like they're more educated and stuff, things like that. They're more sophisticated, supposedly, than the southern Chinese folk. Because at the end of the day, back in the days, southern China was more farmer style, in a sense, right? You know,
okay.
More country life.
Yeah.
So.
See, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was divides within Asia. Within China, like I knew that, like, oh, Vietnamese people or like the Koreans
and the darker
Japanese
color you are, the more supposedly lower class you are.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, or it doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to me being an Asian, knowing that stereotype as well. Just being in the culture, but yeah, like I know, like the different nieces, they don't like each other, right? They just like have beef all the time with each other. So it's I was wondering, like if over there right now they're like, oh, these Chinese people are coming over, spreading coronavirus to us. They have hate against those people as well, or if it's just.
Oh,
like,
I'm pretty sure. If you think about it, say for example, like Singapore, right? A lot of Chinese descend there.
Singaporeans don't like the Chinese that came.
No,
to
of course not.
They hate.
Of course
them.
Not. Of course not.
They're just like, oh, these rich Chinese people just come over and take over our country.
Yeah,
and that's what it is.
It really is like that. I mean, and there's a huge. I'm sure there's a lot of hate crimes over there. Situation within themselves, right? It's the same exact thing where you see, you know, Chinese people go to Japan. It's the same exact thing. Like there's a hate there already as well. You know, so.
But I think it's also like I think COVID specifically isn't like increasing that hate because they've all been through all of these like pandemics before.
Correct.
So like there might be a little spike, but like I feel like they all are just like, oh, we have another pandemic, let's get through it. Over here, we're like, oh, this one pandemic that Chinese people brought over is making us shut down for a year, right? Like so far it's a year, right? Like it seems
people need to understand though, you know, the first scare was the SARS virus, and this is another strand of SARS as well. As people don't understand that COVID is another strand of SARS. We've gone through a SARS there in China. They've gone through a SARS scare already.
They've gone through multiple pandemics already, like throughout Asia.
And at that big of a population, you can't prevent that. It's hard to prevent that, you know. So they know how to react to it. I feel like there's a stronger reaction in America or in countries who have not been to a pandemic before and how to react.
Yeah.
They don't have the resources to react. They don't have the, you know, the not only resources but also there's just the money to react to it and the education how to react to it.
They don't have the toilet paper to react to it. You know, like it's just. nothing works the way it's supposed to once yeah. the pandemic happened. I think that's true.
Yeah, and then once you get when you actually get a lockdown, in a sense, everything is just every social media, every news is just a matter of five tenfold, you know?
Yeah.
So, we can talk about this a little bit more in terms of the different responses, but I feel like every country does react in a sense that, for example, European countries, they've gone through some pandemic, they've gone through the plague, they've gone through certain things. So they're reacting a little bit more properly in a sense. Mm-hmm. Yes, their lockdown is way longer than ours. And their lockdown is serious lockdown compared to America's lockdown. Right. Okay.
Our lockdown is like, you can stay inside if you want. It's pretty lax.
Yeah. And other countries' lockdown is just super hard, you know? But also at the same time, it's America's first lockdown during a president where they didn't take this virus serious in the beginning. So you're already giving mixed messages to the people.
Yeah.
And so part of the communication is communication, right? If education awareness, you know, kind of is, if it's there and you can't communicate that effectively, it's useless. The education is there, the awareness is there, but how do you get that communicated across people?
Yeah, that's true. That like we just didn't take it seriously at the beginning, like our leadership didn't, and yeah. that has even like led to now where like we still have people who don't take it seriously. You still see the Karens that aren't wearing a mask to go to the supermarket and are getting into fights and stuff, right? Like it's just
you would think this virus would bring the people more united in the States, but it hasn't. It didn't.
It took GameStop. Yeah.
It took GameStop to unite more people.
That's the only way people here united is because of GameStop, and that's yeah. It's interesting, right? Like this whole coronavirus thing. They're gonna probably do studies for many many years of how we reacted, how everything.
There's gonna be a documentary for sure about this.
Who's gonna play Donald Trump?
I don't know, but it's gonna be a documentary. Maybe. Alex Baldwin, I don't know, who knows, but all right, listen, we're gonna segment this a little bit, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about the, you know, how we compare, you know, the hate crimes or minorities and all the, you know, different sectors. So you wanna start with the extra MSG session, Robert?
Yeah, extra MSG. I just have this like quick picture that I'm gonna send over to you. It's a Chinese restaurant. Menu, right?
Yeah.
And they're trying to I'm pretty sure they used a thesaurus on this one where it's
like direct translate.
Yeah, direct translate, where they're trying to translate chicken jerk and it says chicken rude and unreasonable.
What
a jerk. That chicken jerk.
That is so hilarious. I wonder where this is taken at, to be honest with you. restaurant? I want to go to this restaurant just to see the rest of the menu. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wonder what restaurant. They don't say anything. Comment.
That is hilarious.
There's a funny
it's kind of a jerk chicken.
Yeah.
Are you reading this comment?
What's the comment? It sounds like it was translated from English to Chinese and back again.
That's funny. All right, so here's mine,
man.
So this is a guy. All right, I should take a look at it when you get a chance. So this is guy filming a Tesla guy, right? And he just parks in this gas station. And the title is, "What is a Tesla?"
At a gas station? Yeah.
So this guy, he goes outside, drove the trash out. And then he's trying to pop the gas tank. And then
wait,
he pops the gas tank.
He's
yes.
He's pumping gas at a gas station for a Tesla?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's just throwing stuff away.
He's scrubbing his credit card into his gas station. It's only a habit thing, right? He probably just bought the Tesla brand new. Look at this. God. You can see the tags brand new. So he's so used to putting gas in his gas car.
What? No, I don't think this can't be his Tesla.
It's brand new Tesla. Look at the tag.
It can't be his. It's gotta be.
Look, he's gonna put the gas He's like, oh shit. Okay. Oh, okay. I can't put the gas in there. Can I wait, there's not a gas tank?
Oh my god.
He realized, oh shit, I'm an electric car. I don't have a it's like, oh shit.
He's like, nothing goes in. Like, where
it's an electric car. He realizes, so I'm like, oh shit, I don't have to put gas.
What an idiot.
He. Alright, so what's the bet? Oh, wait, he's pumping the trunk. I don't. He is a brand new Tesla
what's
owner.
What's he popping the trunk for?
He's looking for a gas. The gas bank. It doesn't have plates yet. It's a new car. I feel like this guy just brought his Tesla or borrowed somebody's Tesla to do this.
I think he borrowed it. There's no way you can, like, buy a Tesla not knowing
he probably
that
doesn't,
it's electric.
It's a full electric car? He thought it was a hybrid?
How do you buy a Tesla and not know that it's electric? Oh,
he's getting pissed. Yeah. Maybe he's borrowed it. See, he's looking for a gas sign. He's actually looking for the gasket. He was going to continue the video.
This is nuts. How can this be? I mean, I know, like, this can't be his car. If this is his car, he needs to.
It's probably not his car, but he probably doesn't realize that the Tesla's all electric.
He's probably out of gas, or he's probably out of, like, mileage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, oh, so, like, you think, like, when Teslas become, like, a thing, electric cars become a thing, will we still say we're out of gas when we run out of energy or, like, whatever?
Out of power, maybe?
I think I would still say, oh, I'm out of gas.
Yeah. Wait, the guy popped the trunk.
What's he doing with the trunk? He's still looking?
Okay. He's looking at the hood right now. He's looking at his hood right now. Look under the hood of a Tesla. Is there no engine? It's empty. The trunk. There are guys around him walking around thinking that, what is that, this guy Tesla doing in the gas station?
What in the world is going on?
The couple that's filming this is not saying shit to him, just laughing off. How rude is that?
No, it's COVID time, right? Or is this before
COVID?
Oh,
you're right. He's calling somebody. He's Googling it. He's calling somebody or Googling it, actually.
This is definitely not his car. Oh, he's so mad.
Oh, he Googled it. He Googled it.
He Googled it and got so
and
mad.
He realized it's like an electric car. So he's probably out of power.
Man, this is nuts. How do you have a Tesla and not know that it's electric?
It's probably not his. It's probably his dad or probably somebody else's, you know. It's a brand new Tesla, though.
That's
at the tag.
True. He did look young enough to be living at home.
But look at the tag, though.
It's brand new tag. Yeah.
That's gonna be funny though.
I think I'm gonna keep saying out of gas even if I get a Tesla. I think it's out of habit, right? It might be like the next generation would be like, oh, I'm out of power or I'm low battery or something. But
low battery?
Yeah. Oh, what does it say on the dash when you're out of battery?
This is a little blinking. It's actually like almost like I'm trying to remember right now. Hang on. It's like a gauge, this power gauge. Like a
you know,
power
Tesla
thing?
Has a, they have an opportunity here to name that and get people to say the same thing. Like say,
I'm out of voltage,
out of something,
watts,
right?
Out of watts.
Yeah, they have an opportunity here that they're missing. They could just name it themselves, but.
But oh well. Yeah, I think their thing is like a battery thing. That's all it is. It's like how much charge?
Oh yeah, let's look it up. Low battery Tesla.
It's how much charge left.
Look at images. Oh yeah, it's just a low battery.
Yeah, that's what it is.
A low battery.
Yeah.
I guess that's what they'll call it. They'll just be like, oh, I'm out of battery.
Sorry. Battery. All right, jumping back into this, I kind of want to talk about a little bit the stats about hate crimes against, you know, just other minority as well. You know, taking the opportunity to talk about hate crimes in general. I do personally feel like, you know, hang on, let me look at this. The Department of Justice here.
I was just looking at the New York ones. The New York one that I said earlier from the New York Police Department. And the year over year on that, like, everything went down.
Hang on, gotta go to difficulty again.
2 hours later.
And we're back. Mike needs to get his stuff set up. Are you completely plugged in now? Like, you're
yeah,
not
completely plugged in now.
All right.
Yeah. So check this out. This is the Department of Justice FBI's release hate crimes, and is obviously you can tell the race, ethnicity. You know.
Wait, who put this out? FBI.
Yeah, motivation. Look, you see like the different portion by sexual orientation, religion, mm-hmm. and this is, you know, you could compare that to, you know, 2018 or 2019 stats, and obviously they don't have this for 2020. Let me see if they have this for 2020.
So for 2018 to 2019, it looks like racial went down slightly, religion went up slightly, and everything else stayed about this. Gender identity went up a little. This is interesting. So I was just saying, like, I was looking at the New York numbers that showed the Asian hate crimes and like the COVID hate crimes from 2019 to 2020, and yep. just like that's a small like sample size, mm-hmm. but if you look at it, it looks like let me pull up these. So if you look at it, like, it looks like all of the numbers go down, year over year, except for the COVID stuff. Like, that's the only one that's gone up. Everything else is either flat or has gone down.
That's interesting,
right? And it's a super small subset, like, size, like 245 cases in the year is like, so it's like super small, but yeah, it just seems like everything's going on. Do you think that these numbers are skewed to the fact that, like, nobody was outside?
It could be.
Right? Like,
yeah.
The fact that, like, everybody was in lockdown for at least 6 months. Like, New York was locked down for, like, 6 months, right? Something like that.
Easily. Probably more than that.
Yeah, probably more than that. So, like, this has got to be skewed for that, right? Like, we weren't outside at all, so this is... actually, there's other that went up. Yeah, other and other corona, which we don't know what the differences are. We saw, yeah, everything else went down or stayed the same. So it was interesting to look at that.
So check out the study that I show you right now. So this is a study done by the RISE organization, I believe. Is it not by the association? Asian American Bar Association in New York. So it talks about the New York study about the hate crime going up in the New York area alone, okay, for Asian hate crime. And they cover a lot of the, you know, they explain, you know, how, you know, 2 million Asians were essential workers. And it talks about, you know, how the different hate crimes happening in New York area. It talks about the different news example that they provided. You know, just in general, like, you know, this is, keep in mind, this is just New York, though, and it's just long examples. If you go to page 3 and 4, mm-hmm. and literally just long different examples of different attacks. But no, I mean, not only that, like, even a judge got punched in the jaw while riding a bicycle.
Like, a judge got punched?
Yeah, Judge Phyllis Chu was punched literally. A guy came by a bicycle, just punched him.
What the heck?
Yeah. She literally just got punched, you know? So, like, it's... and, again, this is, you know, this has been going on for...
If you go to page 14, right?
Yeah, go to page 6, well, technically 13. There's a stats, a different type of discrimination, you know, U.S. versus New York City, in a sense.
Yeah. This is just like the types, but like on 14, it says the number or the percentage.
There you go. Yeah. Between 2019 and 2020.
Arrests and complaints.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, there was such an increase in from 2019 to 2020 through 2020.
Yeah. And you would think that in cities like this, because it's such a heavy Asian populated, you would think that it wouldn't be as much of an issue because they're so used to living with Asians.
That's what I was saying before. Yeah, it seems like a lot of these are happening in these communities where there's a lot of like a big population, right? So like Chinatown here, Chinatown in New York, in LA, like all over LA, like all of those neighborhoods are getting affected as well. Like it seems weird that like
it's a scapegoat thing, though. You think about it. It's also obviously due to the rational fear and part of being a scapegoat. Because how the politics played out, how it kind of misappropriated this kind of situation, you know? It could also be probably
but it's also like
divert different attention. You think about it.
What did you say?
Yeah. It could also kind of divert different attention from actual real causes that could be underlying this tension. So,
So they're putting all of their attention over here rather than what is really the problem in their lives. I guess that's true. Yeah. I'm just thinking like how political it was. It doesn't seem like these populations would be agreeing with Trump and like his rhetoric.
But think about this, right? Even before COVID, there's a tension between U.S. and China, and people kind of felt that from the president at that time. You know, hey, we're gonna make sure our country's first, blah blah blah. We're not gonna let China take over. Like he already kind of built that kind of that kind of conflict in that mindset already, right? It's easier to create a division within its own people, its own country, in a sense, because when United States of America, we're made up, our population is just immigrants and, you know, descendant immigrants, different races. So it's easier to divide us because of our races, our religion, than uniting us. So part of it is because of that conflict, I feel like that already, even before COVID, that mindset is already there. Once COVID happened, I feel like that was just more, you know, shown, right?
But that was a conflict with the like conservative party, right? Like I don't think the liberal side had a negativity towards like China.
I'm not sure if it's just necessarily a conservative party situation. I felt like, it was more. Yes, the conservative party may have brought that issue a lot more out.
That's what like Trump was like running on, right? Like he like.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't think that represents the whole party, though. I don't think that represents the whole party, though. You know what I'm saying? So
you don't think, I guess that's okay. So you're saying like the liberals also have that anti-China mentality?
Yeah, but they're doing it more of a political way of being nice. You know what I mean? Like, instead of, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm just thinking, like, if you're saying the politics was leading the effort, right? Or like bringing this attention to it, wouldn't it make sense that your party, if it's your party's the one that's more vocal about it, then you would be more negative on it versus like somewhere like San Francisco, where it's very liberal and your party's not really having this anti-Asian rhetoric. Like,
would have you heard? Let me ask you this: have you heard from the mayor of San Francisco say anything about this? I'm just wondering
about the Asians attack.
Yeah.
I'm sure she has. Like, I think I have heard her talk about, she did say something about it. Let me see, Mayor Breed attacks, but. I'm just saying, like, you're talking about even before this happened, there was an anti-China,
it was
leading towards anti-China type of mentality.
Yeah, it's the mentality that conflict because of how the last 3-4 years portray, hey, how China's is already, you know, grown so much, blah, 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 the trade deficit.
But I don't hear that from, like, liberals. I don't hear it.
I'm not just saying necessarily it hit it from liberal, but in a sense, though, like right now, if you think about it,
I hear it from business people, like business, and I hear it from conservatives, which if you're looking at the average person here in San Francisco, I wouldn't expect them to be one of those two.
That's true. I agree with that part.
So if that is like growing, like where is that growing? Like where is that, coming from, right? Like,
So what I'm trying to get to is that I feel like the liberal side of things, they try to keep it the Big Ten happy, right? So they're not going to say it up front. While the conservative, they're probably a little bit more vocal because that's the focus of the type of people, in a sense. Mm-hmm. So even right now,
which is like party wide or like right, but to the normal person, I don't see the normal person seeing that and being like, oh, they're working in ways that are
of course not.
So like I don't see how like a normal person would be like, oh man, these Chinese people are trying to take over the world.
But not only that, though, if you think about it, they realize, oh shit, we rely on masks from China. Then we realize, oh shit, we need the masks from China. Oh shit, plastic bottles. Oh shit, hand sanitizer came from China. Everything came from China. So that add up more, a little bit more fuel to the fire when they realize not only China, the virus came from China now, and now all the products that we disinfect viruses comes from China. You know what I mean? Like, so I feel like there's already in a way that's kind of portraying a story of how they're not even being held accountable for certain situation, but guess what? We're relying on them to kind of help us out.
I think that's a very business.
It is a business mentality. Oh, I completely agree.
I don't see most people.
I don't see an average person seeing that. I get that part. I 100% agree. Right, but right. I mean.
So I don't. But I'm just saying, like, for the point of like, what is the rationale that started this? It doesn't seem like that would be the initiator or like a factor in it, because a normal person wouldn't be thinking about this.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, though, the conflict with China, in a sense, how, you know, the previous president made a big deal out of that, in a sense, that just came mainstream media and it just added, you know, people get a little bit more misinformation to the deal, you know? It just added that sentimental emotion behind it.
I guess, but like, I feel like most people didn't like him, so like, they wouldn't listen to him.
But again,
why would that be an issue?
It's just targeted a certain demographic, people said.
Right, and I feel like there is a small demographic that this happened to, and like where this type of rhetoric would affect their how they view Asians and like with like just in everything. But I also think that would be part of like the Rust Belt or like the South, where you don't see as many of these attacks just because there's even like the population is here.
3 hours later,
I do think that in terms of this hate crime, look at the stats itself, right? And there's, in a sense, we're not trying to solve this, but at the same time, though, like, how do we make it more aware, right? Yes, you have a few celebrities here making a big deal out of that, you know, in a sense, like trying to put them in the platform. But how do you make it more aware, though? I know part of it has to be with education, but also at the same time, though, I don't feel, as long as I don't feel people would care until it affects them.
That's true. And I don't think politicians would care until it affects them.
Yeah.
And we are 5% of the population. Yeah. What are we?
And you saw that with the riot. You saw that with the Capitol riot, right? It affected directly their life. And I guess what? They're talking about it now more and more.
Yeah. Wait, so are you saying the Asians should go and riot? Is that where you're going?
I'm not saying anything at all.
We're gonna get Mike Wong. He's gonna be impeached from this podcast.
I'm not saying at all. I'm just saying, I just feel like there's not gonna be a huge reaction or media news unless someone directly them in power gets affected by it.
Yeah, but that's the issue, right? Like, how do we make it affect them? The only power that we have as a community is through our voting, right? And making sure that the people who we are putting into power understand our needs and are looking at our community.
So let's talk about generational response, right? Like, for example, so our parents don't care. They've gone through a lot of more stuff. Our older generation, they're going to be like, hey, there's no point retaliating. We're in the country in a sense, you know. There's no point of trying to... trying to speak back, right? But in our generation, it's like, no, this is also our home. So we're gonna defend the house as we can. So a sense of pride, a sense of more of a entitlement comes in more.
It's interesting. I was listening to a podcast where he was talking about how immigrants over here, they come from really bad situations. So then.
Yep.
He was talking about one family who, he was talking about one family who they came here and they were living like 10 of them in a small apartment in Oakland, right? But all of this bad stuff was happening and they're like, what's bad here? Like everything's like over here, I have AC.
Yeah.
At home, I don't have it. Like at home, I didn't have AC. I had no money. Like
a job.
America has provided stuff that we didn't have back home. And so it's that mentality where like they're coming from such a low place that yep. even living in a like a really shitty place in Oakland, they're still like happy because it's better than where they came from.
Of course, the situation for them was a lot better because they've been through worse.
Right. And I think that our generation, we didn't really feel that struggle because our parents took on that responsibility Correct. For us
yes.
and built out something for us so that we didn't have to go through that struggle. Yeah. But it also affects the way that we see.
That's why our generation is more protective about it now, because elders are getting attacked, and this is why it's a big deal, right? Because of that situation, because they're not responsible for this at all. They're and I think because it's of a more of a personal issue now for our generation, you know what I mean? And so this is why a lot in our generation are speaking a lot more out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I was also brought up to like, hey, blend in. Don't make a big deal.
Yeah,
you're supposed to
lay low, stay quiet.
Low as possible. Don't make a big deal. If you like show yourself as different than other people, then you'll get discriminated against, or you'll get something That's bad true. Will happen. Like you'll be targeted.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's like ingrained. Like it's taught to us from like when we're little that we should be just
too late. Like, to stay quiet. Yeah.
Just be quiet. Fly on the radar and just do your own thing.
I didn't listen to my mom. I was the loudest one in the class.
Oh yeah, I was. I followed that. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna.
I did never lay low. I was just the most outspoken one in the class. I was like, fuck this, you know, screw this.
I just cracked jokes, right? Like I just cracked jokes. So then nobody really bothered me because I'm. If anyone made fun of me, I just like doubled down. And then it wasn't fun to make fun of someone who's making fun of themselves.
Yeah, so, of course. That's a self-mechanism in a sense.
Right. So like I did that and like nobody ever said anything. Like, oh, this guy's just gonna kill the joke because he's doubling down, tripling down.
It's smart though. But I think deep down it does bother you though, to be honest with you. So
for me, I don't know. I never took any of it to heart. Cause like when it comes to jokes,
yeah,
I don't care. Like I'll take any
jokes is different. No, jokes is different. I feel like getting picked on is a whole different story too, though. Jokes versus getting picked on is two different things, right?
I guess that's true. But like, yeah, I didn't really get picked on then, right? Like, I if somebody made a joke, like it's mostly people just like make jokes and stuff. They're not really picking on me. They don't, and I think that my defense mechanism, defended against that because I didn't make a big deal out of it. Yeah. You call me a chink. Okay. I'm super chink. Let me show you my eyes. Right? Like it's there's no fun in like making fun of that person. Yeah. So it didn't.
Obviously you killed it, right? In a sense, right? I get that. So let me ask you this though, you know, with all the, you know, anti-Asian hate crime act that are going out there right now, how do you think Andrew Yang's going to run for mayor for New York City? How's that going to play out?
I mean, he's leading right now, right?
Yeah, he's leading right now. That's the crazy part. Oh. Imagine him becoming the mayor of the city as an Asian guy, and one of the biggest hate crimes going on right now is anti-Asian there.
Yeah, I would try to look up if he had said anything about it, and he hasn't. Like, I haven't heard him any response.
I'm not sure. I mean, we may not have heard of it. Let me see what he says.
It might be too new. Like, he might not have said, but like, I haven't heard anything.
But also at the same time, he's running for mayor, though.
I know he should be saying something.
Oh, he's facing backlash for not saying anything.
Yeah, that's what. I'm
reading right now. He's facing backlash for not saying anything.
Yeah, he hasn't really said anything. But I don't know. Politicians don't really.
I wonder why.
I don't know why there's no talk on it. Maybe it also hasn't hit his radar, but I'm pretty sure it has. Like there's 90% sure that it's hit his radar. Just being a politician, being an Asian person. As a politician, I mean, if it hit Kamala Harris's feed, like, there, it's gotta have hit.
He's responded to a few couple. By the way, he's responded to a few couple of tweets about it, but I don't think he says any. I don't think I found anything that he says officially. Hmm. So this is like, but I haven't seen anything.
But yeah,
I haven't seen anything that you know. he kind of addressed a little bit of that, but I don't think he has directly addressed this in a sense.
For the first time in years, I felt self-conscious, even a bit ashamed of being Asian. Wait, when did he write this? April 1st? Oh, this was last year, 2020.
Yeah. That's like, this year he hasn't done anything yet, though, in a sense. Anyway, we'll see how that plays out, though. I mean, you're right. He's leading the polls right now, so.
Mm-hmm.
What is the governor? When is the mayor thing running? Is it November?
I think all of them are November. November 2nd. Yeah, I think all of our stuff is November 2nd.
Yeah, he's going against some tough people there, let me tell you.
Is he? Who is he going against?
There's a whole list of like mayor candidates.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of candidates. Holy crap. Have you seen this?
I mean, I said we went over this when Sean was here, I think, of all of candidates, but I went on Wikipedia and I looked at
former secretary of housing. Then you see the former New York State senator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I hope he does well. I like Yang. I think he makes a lot of sense when he talks. But yeah, it doesn't affect us because we're not in New York.
That's true.
This will affect maybe 2024 when he runs for president again.
You think so?
I mean, why not? Like, why are you going for mayor if you're not going to go for president again?
I don't see him going for president again.
No? Why not?
By the time you finish mayor, you're still in that seat 2024. So, I don't think he's targeting. I don't think he's going to go for president.
What do you mean? He's still in the seat. You can move from your mayor
seat to president. But you think so, though? You think he'll do it again?
No, I don't think 2024. Because it'll still be Biden, right? It'll be 2027. Or 2020. 2028. 2028, yeah. It'll be 2028.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, at the end of the day, listen, the guy has proven himself that he can run a business, in a sense, and run a nonprofit and create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So the question comes down to, you know, what else? I don't see. It's very, very hard to see an Asian American become a president of the United States, you should say.
Wow, really, Mike? Yeah. You're saying this right now.
It's very hard. I'm putting this on record. It's very hard to see that.
You can't see an Asian American being president.
Not just 8 years.
I don't know.
I see a woman first before I'm Asian American.
I mean, Kamala Harris might be president in like 3 years when Biden like decides he doesn't want to do it anymore and just steps down.
But again, though, I see a woman president again, like I said before.
She'll be both.
It could be both. It could happen.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
It's very hard.
I think if you get a charismatic enough person, it could happen. You need like the Obama version of an Asian American. Like super charismatic, but knows his stuff. Like I think that type of person can become president. I don't think. I think it's more likely that an Asian person becomes president before a woman.
Wait, why say that?
Because whenever a woman, like I think we talked about this with Britney, right? Like any woman who's in politics is like immediately labeled as like a bitch, right? Like it's just like if you look at it, like every woman who's like run for something has like some
but
bad
I also feel like the political parties doesn't help the cause of that. That doesn't help them either. And then if you think about it, like I thought Tulsi would have been a great candidate for Democrats, but obviously the party did not like her at all, you know, just the way she like. And I personally think Tulsi would have killed it, to be honest. It would have covered a lot more common ground. But the parties didn't like, you know, some of the things because she's a little bit more a moderate Democrat than a super extreme, you know, liberal Democrat.
No, but I feel like to get to that stage, you have to be like a hard-nosed like killer, and that type of like when you're like that and you're a woman, like there's so much negativity on that. Versus a man, like if a man is there, like he's like a hard-nosed businessman going out making deals, like. You don't label that guy as a bitch. That guy is like honored and like, oh, this guy's a great bitch.
So you're saying the stigma behind that.
There's a stigma, yeah. And I think a woman having that same mentality and same drive, that has a different, it's a different bad stigma to
it. Want
to
put a wager on this? To see what,
I'm just saying that that's the image of a woman
before a woman before an Asian American president. What do you
think? I don't think that's fair, because there's like 50% women versus like 5% Asians. It's just hard to
the compare. Odds. I see what you're saying though. Yeah. I guess.
You give me odds. Yeah. Give me 100 to 1. 100 Tesla shares versus my 1 Tesla share.
You're saying there's going to be more of a chance of an Asian male American become a president before a woman, you're saying? That's what you're saying?
I'm not saying that it's more likely. I'm saying I can see it easier. I can see it happening easier than a woman because of that stigma.
I can see the stigma for sure. I don't know the stats behind that. Like, I personally think that because how divisive we are as a country right now, having an Asian American president is going to be a lot tougher. That's all.
Why? White people love Asians. All right. So we get all the white votes.
Yeah, to a certain degree.
Black people love Asians. We get all the black votes. Like it's like it feels like a uniting type of person. It depends on how charismatic they are.
I hope you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm hoping you're right, to be honest with you.
It's just like Andrew Yang isn't very charismatic as a...
I feel like he could be. He's definitely got the smarts for it. He definitely had this. He has the literally the communication. There. Communication is there. I feel like he just needs to be relatable. That's it. But that could be done. That could be addressed though.
He's more like a nerd than he is a
politician. That could be addressed though. But if it's that his demographic is our generation, you're gonna send that.
I get it. I understand. But when you look at like our president, they're not nerds.
Let me ask you this though: would Bernie run again?
Oh my God! I hope he doesn't. Right? He should just go. He should just go and retire. Like he's done. He's done. He's done his part, right?
Yeah.
You're old now. Like, stop trying to.
How old will he be? 78 when he runs again?
How old is Bernie right now?
74, maybe? Is he? I thought it was Biden's age. Am I wrong? I forgot.
He was the oldest candidate, I think.
Is he older than Biden?
He's 79 right now.
Oh, wow. So he is older than Biden.
Because so in 74. 8 years, he'll be 77. Or be 87. Yeah.
No, 2024 though. I'm not talking about 2027.
Because no one's like, no, it's Biden. Biden's gonna run 2024. Why would he?
Oh no, I think it's a one person done deal. I don't see him. I call it a transition presidential. I don't see him running again.
You don't think?
What?
You don't think he's gonna run again if he's president?
How old is he right now? By the time he runs again, 78.
Why does it matter how old he is?
I think that America's ready for a younger president. That's what I'm saying. That's all.
That doesn't matter to like the party system.
Yeah, but again, party system can change.
Though. I don't like if Biden is still in office and he hasn't stepped down.
Yeah,
I think he's gonna rerun because that's how the party system works.
Depends how much.
When's the last time a standing president didn't run for a second term?
When's the last time?
Last time it happened.
I can't
think of it.
I can't think of one either right now. To be honest with you. Reagan?
Oh, but he got impeached. He like left. Like, that's a different situation, right? Like he wasn't president after like at the end of that.
I guess so.
I think it's just automatic that he's
going to rerun again. He'll rerun. Okay, I see what you're saying though.
And if he steps down, then I think Kamala will rerun. Like that'll be
we'll run for it.
No, she'll be like if he steps down in the middle of his 4 terms, and then she's the president, then she will she'll run again. Like she'll be the candidate in 2024.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We should watch The Simpsons to see what to predict the future.
which Simpsons episode?
I don't know, clue, but I'm sure there's an episode about this.
All of this. Maybe.
It's so crazy, by the way.
They're so good at predicting the future.
Yeah. All right. So let's wrap this up. I think this talk, I do realize that it's hopefully it does bring some more awareness. But at the same time, though, you know, like for me and you, like that, you know, like I just wish that, you know, we could promote this a little bit more. But how will you tell somebody to be more defensive about this, right? If it happens to them, you know, like how do you not react to this, right? Like if it happens, like.
No, we have to ask how can we react more?
How can we react, or how should we react? Just two different questions, I guess.
I don't know. Like for me, like reacting to something like this.
If someone pushes you in the middle of the street, how would you react to this though? In San Francisco?
If someone pushed me in the street, I would push them back. But but it's not me that they're targeting, right? They're targeting old people who can't get up and push back, or like it's just they're targeting people who they shouldn't be. They're defenseless. Yeah.
Well, they don't know. They don't know you're defenseless. They could be targeting you. Never know.
They're old, 80, 90 year old.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about they don't know you that you're defenseless. I'm talking about you. Like, let's say that if they do attack you, they wouldn't know you're defenseless or not. But like, let's say that. How would you react to that?
No, I would punch him back. Like it's not like for me, it's just like an automatic reaction to get up and just run and like try to chase him down.
So you would react, you would chase him down.
But it's not like I don't know. It's I don't ever think it's gonna happen to me because I'm not the demographic that they would be looking for.
They would try to target. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I get that.
Right? Like
but you never know, though. I mean,
it could happen for sure. Like, I'm not saying it's out of the question, but I think based on what we've seen, they're targeting older citizens that we have, right? And that's there are a couple. I think one of the articles I was reading, there is a group of people who have decided that we're going to start if any Asian like elders want to go to the supermarket or something, they're like volunteer to go with them. And
I actually seen that as well. Also with Nextdoor app people as well. Hey, I'm going to supermarket, pick stuff up. Not only because of COVID, but also help elders out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was because of all of the Asian stuff happening. They created this group that they're like, okay, if you ever need to go, just call us and we'll stand there and go with you. Yep. And just having that presence of someone else
that definitely helps. Is though,
there
for sure.
Would deter some of these?
Yeah, but they'll second guess that. Now they see somebody else who's stronger to protect them. That's for sure. No, I mean, I'm not saying that it couldn't happen to us as well. To be honest with you, I personally feel like it will be too fast for me to react.
Fast, but you still get up and like start yelling, right? You'll start yelling. You'll start running.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll start running. I don't even know. Maybe I won't stop yelling. Maybe I won't start running. Maybe I'll get pushed down, and then I'll cry on the street for a little while until someone comes and like asks me if I'm okay. But I hope that I would get up and like start running. Like every time someone's like pushed me before, I've been like super angry. So
yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. All right. You want to go through a rant, or that was your rant?
I mean, this whole thing seems like a rant. Like,
yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to say.
maybe that's the title of this episode, is like us ranting for an hour and a half. But no, I wanted for the free range vent session, I wanted to go through the ending of our Daniel Negreanu, Doug Polk.
Oh, did it end already?
It finally ended. So the last time that we talked, for context, there's these two big name poker players who decided that they really didn't like each other. They went back and forth on Twitter and stuff, and they wanted to do a heads up match. They played 25,000 hands of poker, for 200, 400 blinds, and see how much whoever wins the most money wins the grudge match or whatever, right? So last time we talked. They were at, I want to say it was 21,000 hands or something.
Yep.
I want to say it was like 21,000 hands. They had 4,000 hands left. They finished both of those in two sessions. Like they went through 4,000 hands.
They played that
hands.
Much chance? Holy crap.
I think they played like 8 hours a day. Because I think by that point, so at 21,000 hands, Daniel Negreanu was down 735,000.
Damn, did he end up being down how many dollars?
So I think they were just like, okay, this is like, he's not gonna be able to win, so he's just gonna play as much as he can each day. Right. So they played 8 hours for two days, and it ended up being Daniel was down $1.2 million.
Wow.
That's how much he lost overall. Yeah.
So you paid him $1.2 million?
Yeah, $1.2 million. That's what he lost. Crazy.
I wonder if it did it in person, though. He would have probably schooled him, to be honest with you.
You know, like, since then, they've had, like Doug Polk, who's, like, he's a professional heads-up player. So he's gone through and went through Negreanu's strategy and said what he thought Negreanu was bad at.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, he played really well in almost every position except for when he... in a raised pot, and he was he was first to act, right? Like when he was small blind, like out of position, and he was the one who bet for, like he was the one who bet first.
Yeah.
After the flop, he just never bet again, and on the river, he never bet again. So then Doug, like, took advantage of that. Like that was his main thing that he took advantage of. That whole game. So I think if they kept playing,
but that's online, right?
Yeah, online. But like, so Doug had like a team of people going through every hand and analyzing everything and telling him what the weaknesses were.
Yeah. Right?
So that he, like, they would do the same thing live. It would just be longer.
You would think Negreanu has the same thing?
Negreanu?
I don't think so. I don't see him doing that.
So Negreanu had a team, but his team wasn't like recording every hand, right?
Yeah.
They were more looking at like how the hands played, and like they were doing more conceptual stuff.
Yep.
Also, he started at a point where he needed more learning. So then they were teaching him a lot of stuff before he could get to a point where he was actually good.
Comfortable online. Yeah.
Yeah. So then they're missing stuff just because of that. Doug said like every morning he would wake up and his team of gurus.
Had already emailed him a report
of everything that he needed and how to do it and like what he needed to fix and stuff. Yeah. And he was like, "All right, I just put it in," and that was it. Like that, it was.
Well, and that's the thing, right? You can't do that live games. I'm sorry.
You can do it.
It's harder.
No, it's not. I'm just saying, like
I feel like it's harder to recognize in a live game.
No, but they're playing, but. So they're online. They play like 1,000 hands,
but again, a session.
You play like 200 hands a session.
But I feel like Negreanu live is much better than him.
No, and I agree. But I think heads up, Negreanu's not better.
Live too.
Yeah, that like Negreanu would be able.
I just wish they would have a tournament like that live. Just that'd be great.
Negreanu would have an edge in like tells. And like how like, and there's not like numbers and spreadsheets up for you to like automatically, everything has to be in your head. Yep. But I think Doug Polk plays well enough where he has that stuff memorized. So
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that I wish they had that heads up like live.
Yeah, I just think Doug has the 1v1 games down so strong that he can still capitalize on those.
Do you think that they'll do it again live though?
No, Doug hates poker. Doug Polk hates poker.
Really?
He only played because he put out a challenge, and for some reason, Daniel said he would do it. He says this afterwards in interviews. He's like, "I didn't think you would even take this challenge. That's why I put it out there. If I knew you would take it, I would never put the challenge out there." So I don't think this is happening again because I don't think he's playing again.
That is funny. He hates poker, even though he's a professional poker player.
He was. He's like not a poker. He stopped playing poker like 3-4 years ago.
Doesn't matter. You're still a poker player. Yeah.
But he made a lot of money on poker, and now he wants to do other stuff. So
that's fine.
Yeah, he's just like not into it anymore. He doesn't like the study. He doesn't like the grind.
Well, we get Philip and John on this, you know, the grind.
I know. We need to get John on here to talk about poker.
Yeah. All right. My rant is that every time I come home, I eat too much food. You know.
Your parents' place?
Yeah, my parents' place, you know. We eat so much food.
What do you mean? So Is the portion size too big? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's there's too much variety of good food. So you tend to overeat.
You should tell them that they should do
They should do poor choices.
They should do a HelloFresh style. Just one item and have like very small portions.
They should just do, you know, poor man choices. You're just having two choices, is it? Nothing else.
Yeah. But that's like that's also a very Asian parents
household thing. Yeah, of course, yeah. Just like, they try to feed the kids, overstuff the kid, whatever it is.
Overfeed them and then tell them they're fat. Why are you fat? But I'm gonna keep feeding you as much as.
Yeah, I'm gonna make all this delicious food, all these amazing sweets. Yeah, you know. Yeah, but you're still fat.
Like, why are you? Are you so fat?
Yeah. I agree.
Like, why are you so fat? Like, oh, here, eat.
They do that to guests too, by the way. So
no. If you go to an Asian house and you don't eat, that's very disrespectful.
Super disrespectful.
So anyone out there who goes to an Asian house and parents give you food, you have to eat.
Like, yep.
Just put it.
And
in
you
your
cannot
mouth.
You cannot half ass it. They'll know.
Yeah, you have to eat it.
No leftover in your bowl. No rice leftover.
Very disrespectful.
All right, we're gonna sign off now, but. For those who are listening and are in a podcast, just make sure to subscribe to Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast you listen to. Leave a comment. Also, you can obviously visit us at www.gfodots.com. And please, for those who are watching on YouTube, smash the like button and subscribe to our channel. Anything else, Robert, before we head out?
Nah. Leave some comments. Tell us what you think about all of this.
Yeah.
And just let us know.
Yeah, if you have anything to share in terms of, you know, other communities that are doing something about this, let us know over this topic. Yeah. Okay, right. Until next time. Take it easy.
Guys. Peace.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOT Thoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.